love Jerry Bridges, and I've always felt that he is like a kind pastor who sits across the desk and says, I know this is going to be really hard to hear, but... And then he gives the hard truth in such a kind way that our hearts are more acceptable to it. And so he's probably one of those authors that you, like me, feel like you know him. He's with the Lord now. He just passed away within the last few years. But so thankful for his doing this study and glad that we can do it together today. So far, our study has taken through sin, its disappearance, its malignancy. I can't forget Sarah. I don't know if Sarah is here today, but Sarah Ramos's illustration of the one sin of her rolling her eyes at her daughter. And I thought, oh, who would ever do that? No. But her one sin being enough to condemn her to an eternity apart from God, and that one sin being enough to demand that in order for God to be just, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to die on the cross for that one sin. And I've really taken some time over these last few weeks to really contemplate that. Why is that? And to realize when you have God, Creator God, perfectly holy, the audacity of a creature to, in essence, thumb their nose at that kind of sovereign, that kind of holy, awesome, perfect being. And so to take our sin very seriously. And then as believers, reminding ourselves that we have been freed from the penalty of sin and its power, as we've been going through in Romans, the amazing truth that we are no longer slaves of sin. We are no longer having to live under the reign of sin, but now by God's grace, because of Jesus Christ alone and only him, we can be and are freed from the power of sin, even though we will always have its presence until we're glorified, when Christ returns or when we go to him upon our death. So Bridges also did directions for dealing with sin. Remember that? I hope you have reviewed that. He mentioned applying the gospel, really thinking through the gospel each moment throughout the day, depending upon the Holy Spirit, recognizing our own responsibility, that there is action for us to take. There are things we must do to respond to the sin that God shows us. Identifying those specific sins, memorizing and applying scripture so that we are armed in that moment to act in a way that is pleasing to God based upon his word. Prayer. Praying through, Lord, please help me, give me the grace to live in such a way that can be holy. And then involving a few other believers, mature believers that you can trust, that will not encourage your sin, but will encourage your holiness, that will speak truth to you and say, yes, you were wrong. Yes, you do need help in that. Instead of, no, everybody does it. Don't worry about it. So those were very helpful. Then ungodliness, okay? That one is interesting, isn't it? Because ungodliness was our first respectable sin. God is not in their thoughts. And this one can be surprising because we can be totally unaware of what we're totally unaware of. Wasn't that brilliant? But if we're clueless, we're clueless. If we are ungodly, the whole point is we are unaware. We're completely unaware of God, or we act as though we're unaware of God. We behave as though there isn't a God. In the daily course of life, how often, we won't make you raise your hands, but have you had your time with the Lord in the morning and you read and you pray and you yield, and then you come to the end of the day and said, I didn't think about him the rest of the day. In those moments, it was as though we were without God, ungodly. The opposite is to fear God, to revere God, to glorify him, to live in a constant awareness. But we have to train ourselves for that. We have to train. It's not something that just happens to us. We must choose to think of God all throughout every day. And so today we come to our second respectable sin, unthankfulness. And it always helps us to examine that very, very carefully. It isn't enough, is it, just to simply say, oh yeah, I guess I'm unthankful sometimes. I need to work on that. How long is that gonna last? Not so much. And then we blithely go on our way, oh, sorry, Lord, I was unthankful. And we don't stop to really examine, have the Lord examine our hearts, to study all of those aspects. We have to train for godliness. And by nature, we're lazy. I'm lazy. Maybe it's just me. But by nature, we're lazy. And it takes hard work. The process of sanctification is hard work. As Tom often says, it takes maximum effort. God does it. He is the one that accomplishes any work in us, but he requires us to put out maximum effort in this process of sanctification. And then when Tom was with you, he shared with you from Ephesians 4. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, do go back online, because he shared with us the process of change. And from Ephesians 4, and Ephesians 4, I was just teaching this back in North Carolina, and it's just an amazing chapter where it shows us this whole thing of put off, be renewed, and put on. The word there is lay aside, be renewed, and put on. But it's easy to remember: put off, be renewed, put on. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time in that with unthankfulness. Because you remember, if you go back, in the chapter of Ephesians, it talks about distinct contrast from lying to speaking the truth, from unrighteous anger to righteous anger, from stealing to sharing, from unwholesome words to wholesome words, from natural vices to supernatural virtues. But the process of change is the same for every sin, even if that particular sin is not mentioned in that one chapter. So how do we train? How do we train to put off unthankfulness, to be renewed in our mind, and to put on thankfulness? One way is to ask questions. And so I'm just going to share with you the process that I went through over these last few weeks of asking questions about unthankfulness so that I could take it seriously, kind of like dissecting it, where I could look at it and say, okay, let's look at all different aspects of this so that I take it seriously in my own heart, and so that I can be impacted and prepared to put it off, to be renewed in my mind, and to put on the opposite virtue. So think of this as more as of a workshop, okay? So work along with me in your own mind as we go through this. So one way is to ask questions, and here are some of the questions. Do not feel like you have to write them all down now, okay? And some of them are going to sound redundant, but honestly, they're not. They're not. They're in a logical order, but the order could be changed. So as you go through your own study, if you decide to take this method of looking at something, don't feel it has to be in exactly this order. But here are some of the questions. What is unthankfulness? What is the corresponding virtue? And I'm going to give you a chance at each point. You're going to be able to write these down. Why are we unthankful? To whom are we to be thankful? What are we to be thankful for? Why are we to be thankful? When are we to be thankful? How do we put off unthankfulness? When are we most tempted not to be thankful? What specific scriptures about thankfulness will help us renew our minds? How are we to do this? And what does thankfulness achieve? So basically starting and working through where I don't let myself go, yeah, sometimes I'm unthankful, I need to work on that. But where I can get specific down into the nitty-gritty. So what is unthankfulness? Unthankfulness, ingratitude, thanklessness. It is a sin of omission, meaning it's something that we should do that we don't do. It's easier, isn't it, often to see the sins of commission. I mean, when I yell at my kids, it's easier to see that than when I don't give thanks for something. So sins of commission that we commit, sins that we commit, are often easier to spot than the sins of omission that we fail to do. It is simply not giving thanks. It's the sin of not giving thanks. Romans 1:21, they did not give thanks. The MacArthur Study Bible note says they refused to acknowledge that every good thing they enjoyed was from God. They simply refused. They didn't give him thanks. So what is the corresponding virtue? The corresponding virtue, what is the opposite? Now, it seems obvious, but don't rush over this, okay? Thankfulness, gratitude, it's an attitude characterized by being grateful, giving thanks. As you go through Scripture, and I would urge you, don't just leave this topic behind now that you're prepared for today and you have your study time. Use this month of Thanksgiving to really go through, in each verse, chase down the cross references. Dig in. I'd urge you to spend the next few weeks, a lot of time, maybe even every day or a season of time, where you really dig in. And you'll notice that again and again and again, Scripture talks about give thanks. We can sometimes see it as just a feeling. I'm grateful. We can see it as an attitude. But Scripture, again and again and again and again, says give thanks. It's an action verb. Okay, it is not just, ooh yeah, I'm thankful. No, they're giving thanks. Give thanks. Why are we unthankful? Our next question. What are the roots? This is not exhaustive. You went through some in your book. But what are the roots? It goes along with ungodliness. If you're not aware of God, if we're not aware of God, we're often not aware of his actions and his gifts. It also is a failure to give God glory. We simply don't acknowledge him. The one that has struck me over the last number of years is the failure to remember. Okay, that should be another respectable sin, actually, because we tend to think, well, I just forgot, as though that's somehow passive. Scripture repeatedly says you did not remember, as in you failed to bring it to mind. In our utilitarian age, forgetfulness is not a sin. It's just, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. Christ, God, all through Scripture commands, rehearse my blessings, focus on my character. Bring to mind, you remember the passages, and he pointed one out in your book, bring to mind so that you don't forget and leave me. I was really struck after God gave me back my health after several serious illnesses a few years ago. Hezekiah, God gave Hezekiah his health back, and it says Hezekiah did not give a return. He's like, Lord, let me live. Okay, I'm good. And I've just been, honestly, in proper fear of ever being that way. Lord, you gave me my life back. Help me every day to thank you and praise you for an opportunity to live another day. I don't want to be Hezekiah and fail to give a return. That's in 2 Chronicles 32. Self-sufficiency, greed, lust. We want more. We're covetous. Covetous isn't, I can't remember if we're doing covetousness in this study, but that one, that's a respectable sin. We're just supposed to be greedy. I mean, why else would you have Pinterest? And I'm teasing, but but seriously, greed is just a pastime. Covetousness, especially in our culture, it's just normal. Well, of course you want more than you have, but that is not being thankful. To whom are we to be thankful? We're to be thankful to the Lord. This is not a generic feeling of gratitude. Okay, do you find yourself yelling at the commercials that say, be grateful, you know, be thankful? To whom? Your pet? Really? I mean, some of them, seriously, listen and look at the ads. Or in yoga, be thankful to yourself. Why am I being thankful to me? You know, be thankful to God. Give thanks to the Lord. What are we to be thankful for? Short answer, everything. Okay, so spiritual blessings, temporal blessings. This one just amazes me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I'm just so blown away that God's goodness is his glory. In other words, when I tend to think of the glory of God, I can think of the bigness, the vastness, and all of it is true, his power, his knowledge. But when Moses says, God, show me your glory, what does he show him? His goodness. Amazing. The Psalms are filled with, Psalm 100 gives thanks for God's godness and his goodness. Psalm 103, which is my favorite psalm, and Sandy referenced it, I hope to reference it again. Forget none of his benefits. Psalm 104, his creation. Psalm 45, many are your words, too numerous to count. Are verses that our author pointed out. Give thanks for all things. Give thanks in everything. Short answer, everything. Give thanks for everything. Even the things you don't like. Why are we to be thankful? Because it's commanded. Everything is from God. We have so much to be thankful for. And I love the concept that no good thing does he withhold from him who walks uprightly. That has helped me through so much as I've lost people close to me or lost my health for a time or didn't have things that I thought that I needed, to remind myself, if this were a good thing, I'd have it. If this circumstance were good for me or for my child, we would have it. He doesn't withhold any good thing. So we can be overflowing with thankfulness. When are we to be thankful? Always, in everything. When anxious? If Philippians 4, make it a habit of your life when you are anxious. What I will do is I'll write everything down that I'm anxious for. And honestly, it helps me to go through and I cross out like worry list, I cross that out on the top, and then I go through, and before I even pray about it, I give thanks for everything on that list, and it changes me. It changes my mindset so that then I can come with a proper attitude toward God. Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things. Something that I've been saying to myself recently is, this is an all thing. Okay, because it's not my first response to give thanks. It's not my first response to consider it joy, James 1. This is an all thing. Whatever hellacious event, that's covered. Any inconvenience, that's covered. An irritation, that's covered. A change of plans, that's covered. This, whatever it is an all thing. So we can be thankful all the time. How do we put off unthankfulness? First step, it requires confession. What is confession? Agreeing with God, calling it what God calls it. So when we realize, and all of us are going to be in this camp, when we realize we are unthankful, we have to come to him in a spirit of confession and say, Lord, I have not been taking this seriously in my life. This is an affront to your holiness. This is an affront to your goodness. I would encourage you to do what I did as I was going through this stage, and I took several hours and walked through my whole life and looked back and confessed my lack of giving God thanks. From an infant, that's still sin, to a toddler, to a child, to a teen, and worked my way through and said, forgive me. You are so good. And he's forgiven me in Christ. But as much to acknowledge the incredible extent of not giving thanks and what an affront it is to God. It requires intentional effort to lay aside and put off the specific acts and moments of this, doesn't it? So in order to thoroughly put this off, we have to recognize, when are we most tempted to sin in this way? What are my particular struggles? What are yours? spend some time asking yourself, what is my tendency in this area? Do you fail to give God thanks for his provisions? You just, okay, we get up and we've got coffee and we've got food and we've got energy and we've got family. Do you fail to bring back to mind? You forget and you see forgetting as passive. You can't help it. Do you fail to bring back God's goodness, his works? Do you fail to pray with thanksgiving? Do you fail to focus and give thanks for all that God is and all that he does? What are your specific tendencies in this way? What specific scriptures about thankfulness will help you to renew your mind? We have several, and I hope you've memorized those. Another one that I would add to that list is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3:17. As he mentioned, write them out in a prominent place. I'll put it across my calendar page. I'll put it on my devices. I'll get a 3x5 card and stick it everywhere that I'm prone to look. Put it everywhere you can and memorize it, meditate on it, come up with a plan of action for putting that verse into place so that when you recognize you're not giving thanks, you've got the word of God. That's the renewal process. Okay? So we put off, and now we know a little bit more about what we're putting off. We renew our minds and think God's thoughts after him. And then the process of putting on. How are we to put this on? He gave some suggestions. Let's real quickly go over some other ones. Develop the habit of giving thanks. Okay, let's go a little deeper with that. I would encourage you to frame your thoughts. You do realize that we choose what we're thinking? What do we often think about our thoughts? That was really a confusing question. I'll answer it since I can't articulate it in the best way. We often think our thoughts just happen. No, we choose what we think. We choose what we think. Develop the choice, discipline your mind to frame your thoughts according to Scripture. Train yourself in the habits of praise, prayer, and giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is often an outline that is so helpful to say, today, all day long, every moment that I can have my own thoughts, when I'm not caught in something else that requires my thinking, choose to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So you start in the morning and you start, okay, I'm gonna start with rejoicing. Every spare moment when I'm showering, when I'm driving, when I'm not having to interact with another person, when my focus doesn't have to be on a task, I'm gonna get back to rejoicing and rehearsing the character of God and what is true about him. Okay, then several hours later, it's about lunchtime, and you say, okay, rejoicing was the morning. Now I'm going to pray about everything. Structure your thoughts. Pray through your family, around the globe, categories, however you can, but pray about everything. Then around 3 o'clock, you're going, okay, now I'm going to shift to giving thanks for everything. You can do it in different ways. That's just an example of taking a passage like that and saying, I'm going to discipline my mind to every volitional thought that I have all day. I'm going to focus on that. Choose to give thanks the first thing in the morning. You wake up and instead of, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, I know my first thoughts, oh no, or and they're off. Okay, thank you, Lord, that I woke up. Thank you for the whatever you're going to do in my life today. And in your shower, thank you for hot water. You know, be specific. Go through giving God thanks for everything. Your first response to every situation. This one's I'm working on. Okay? When it happens, saying, okay, the right response is to give thanks. Even if I don't like it. James 1, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of various kinds. Oh, my plans were changed. Lord, I don't like this, but thank you. I'm getting sick. Lord, this wasn't in my plan, thank you. Every time, make it our first response at the end of each day. I love Psalm 103. Take a psalm and work through this Psalm 103 at least once a year, I go through, and we'll talk just a moment about the connection between praise and thanksgiving. But Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with loving kindness, who satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And I'll take each one of those and spend as much time as possible rehearsing all of the specific benefits that God has done in my life. So take a psalm like that or another passage, work through it, don't rush through it. As I mentioned, go through categories: spiritual blessings, material blessings, people, answered prayers. One of the best times, most really, honestly, life-changing afternoons. I took a long walk several years ago, and I'll often choose what I'm going to pray about and what I'm going to think about on that walk. And the Lord helped me pick a category, and it was, I'm going to thank God for everything he's given me that I don't like. Everything he's given me that I didn't want. And then I switched and said, I'm going to give God thanks for everything that he has. I can't remember how I put it, but basically the frame was everything that I asked for that I didn't get. That was the other one. And so just spent the afternoon, several hours, and it made me think differently from that afternoon forward about everything God had done in my life. Thank you for not giving me what I wanted, and thank you for giving me what I didn't want. So pick a category. Our family, we always played the thankful game, especially coming home from vacation. That's a good one. You're leaving the paradise. And we'd say, okay, good to play the thankful game. Tom and I, a couple weeks ago, had a really hard discussion, and we got in the car, and we both said, I think we need to play the thankful game. So the whole way home, Tom and I, by ourselves, are going, okay, where you give thanks for everything. Thankful journals, many of you have done that. That is so helpful individually and for a family. For years, every fall, we kept a journal out and everybody got to write on it things that they were thankful for. And I treasure going back through that and reminding myself of all of God's good gifts. What does thankfulness achieve? What does it do? It first and foremost gives the proper glory to God. God is worthy. Every good gift comes from him. You'll notice, and I mentioned it in Psalm 103, we saw it. It's closely tied to praise. If you go to scripture, you're not going to be able to separate praise and thanksgiving. And in fact, often in the poetry of Psalms, the one word fills out the other, and you'll find that they're used almost as synonyms. Psalm 92, 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing your praises, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. So what does it do? It gives glory to God, but it changes us. Notice in this psalm, spend some time there, Psalm 92. It's been my psalm for the last several months. The last two lines, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. So as we're praising God, as we're giving thanks, you know what happens? He changes us and he gives us joy. I love what Kidner says. It says, clearly enough, it is right to give thanks and to sing his praise. But here we go further and call it good. Good, no doubt, in the sense that in love, he values it as he valued his creation, he created it and said it was good. But also in the sense that it uplifts and liberates us. And here's this line: we are made glad by the works of God and by his ways in proportion as we give our minds and voices to expressing the wonder of them. The more we give thanks, the more we are filled with joy. You have made me glad by what you have done. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Praise is primarily directed at the character of God and expressing awe and wonder. Thanksgiving is giving specific expressions of thanks for his character and what he's done. God, you are so amazing. Thank you for how you have shown this in my life. God, you are all powerful. Thank you that you're powerful every moment in every detail of my life. Praise and thanksgiving, inextricably linked. It changes also, the other change that it does is it changes our perspective to a real, true, accurate perspective. This isn't the power of positive thinking. Okay, there are a lot of books out there that I've read, too, and I haven't read a lot of them, but I've read a few, even on gratitude, and it's all about be grateful and it'll make you happy. That focus is wrong. That's true. But the focus has to be on the Lord, and the happiness, the joy is a byproduct. But this isn't reframing. This isn't cognitive therapy. Okay, this isn't a mind game. I'm just going to, you know, give thanks for everything and it'll just kind of make it, you know, put the rose-colored glasses on. No, what it does is it truly helps us to see reality. God is truly good. And in every detail, he's good. He is really, truly working everything for our good. He truly gives us every good thing. But when we're not giving thanks, we don't see it. So it changes us. As always, Christ-likeness is the goal. So as we give thanks, use Christ as your model. I looked in the New Testament to see how Christ gave thanks at the breaking of bread. He gives thanks before raising Jesus. He gives thanks to God as he's praying for us, as we will follow after. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then Hebrews 13:15, through him, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to God. Lord, thank you so much. There's been so much for us to cover and we've just flown through, but we do want to stop and give you thanks. Thank you for convicting us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing us from your word that it is not only good and right for us to be thankful, but that also by your good grace, you can change us, to help us to be joyful people all the time, no matter what, to help us give glory that is due you to you, to help us give you sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving as we see life as it really is with a good and holy God. In Jesus' name, amen.